Welcome to the Story Weaver podcast. I'm your host, Bron Rauch Mitchell. Come sit with me under the story tree as I weave a tale or two for you. Salutations and welcome to Poetry with Bron. Today I'll be reading to you from Rhymes from the Mines by Aussie bush poet Edward Dyson. Once again sourced from Project Gutenberg, so www.gutenberg.org. As always, the link will be in the episode description. A Friendly Game of Football by Edward Dyson, a.k.a. Silas Snell. We were challenged by the dingoes. They're the pride of Squatter's Gap. To a friendly game of football, on the flat by Devil's Trap. And we went along on horses, sworn to triumph in the game, for the honour of Gyps Diggings and the glory of the same. And we took the challenge with us. It was beautiful to see, with its lovely curly letters and its pretty filigree. It was very gently worded, and it made us all feel good, for it breathed the sweetest sentiments of peace and brotherhood. We had Chang and Trucker Hogan and the man who licked the plug, also Hegarty and Houlihan and Peter Scott the pug. And we wore our knuckle dusters and we took a keg on tap to our friendly game of football with the dingoes at the gap. All the fellows came to meet us, and we spoke like brothers dear. They'd a tip dray full of tucker and a wagon load of beer, and some lint done up in bundles, so we reckoned there'd be fun ere our friendly game of football with the dingo club was done. Their umpire was a homely man, a stranger to the push, with a sweet deceitful calmness and a flavour of the bush. He declared he didn't know the game, but promised on his oath to see fair and square between the teams, or paralyse them both. Then we bounced the ball and started, and for 20 minutes quite, we observed a proper courtesy and a heavenly sense of right. But Fitzpatrick tipped McDougal in a handy patch of mud, and the hero rose lip, chewing dirt and famishing for blood. Simple Simonson, the umpire, sorted out the happy pair, and he found a pitch to suit them, and we left them fighting there. But the conqueror and cop-out met with cries of rage and pain, and wild horses couldn't part those ancient enemies again. So the umpire dragged them from the ruck and pegged them off a patch, and then gave his best attention to the slugging and the match. You can hardly wish to come across a fairer-minded chap for a friendly game of football than that umpire at the gap. In a while, young Smith and Henty and Blue Ben and Dick and Blake chose their partners from the dingoes and went pounding for the cake. Timmy Hogan hit the umpire and was promptly put to bed neath the ammunition wagon with a bolus on his head. Feeling lonely-like, McGee took on a local star named Brett Bent, and four others started fighting to avoid an argument. So Simonson postponed the game for fear some slight mishap might disturb the pleasant feeling then prevailing at the gap. 60 seconds later, 20 lively couples held the floor, and the air was full of whiskers, and the grass was tinged with gore, and the umpire kept good order in the interests of the peace, whilst the people, to oblige him, sat severely on the police. Well, we fought the friendly game out, but I couldn't say who won. We were all stretched out on shutters when the glorious day was done. Both the constables had vanished, one was carried off to bunk, and the umpire was exhausted and the populace was drunk. But we've written out a paper with good Father Feely's aid, breathing brotherly affection, and the challenge is conveyed to the dingo club at Squatters, and another friendly game will eventuate at this end on the flat below the claim. We have pressed the gap to bring their central umpire if they can. Here we honestly admire him as a fair and decent man, and we're building on a pleasant time beside the Phoenix slums, for the giant feels he's got a call to plug him if he comes. The Deserted Homestead by Edward Dyson. Past a dull grey plain where a world old grief seems to brood o'er the silent land. When the orbed moon turns her tense, white face on the ominous waste of sand, and the wind that stills by the dreamer feels like the touch of a phantom hand. Through the tall still trees and the tangled scrub that has sprung on the old bush track, in a clearing wide where a willow broods and the cowering bush shrinks back, stands a house alone that no dwellers own, yet unharmed by the storm's attack. 'Tis a strange, sad place. On the shingle roof mosses gather and corn blades spring, and a stillness reigns in the air, unstirred by the beat of a wild bird's wing. He who sees believes that the old house grieves with the grief of a sentient thing. From the charmed gums that about the land in a reverent circle throng, comes no parrot's call, nor the wild cat's cry, nor the magpie's mellow song. And their shadows chill with an icy thrill and the sense of an awful wrong. And the creek winds beneath the twisted briar, and the curling creepers hear. In the dusky depths of its bed it slips on its slime-green rocks in fear, and it murmurs low to its stealthy flow in a monotone quaint and drear. On a furrowed paddock that fronts the house grow the saplings straight and tall, and noxious weeds in the garden ground on the desolate pathways crawl. But the briar twists back with a supple jack between the rocks of the rubble wall. On the rotting wall of the gloomy rooms, bats gather with elfin wings, and a snake is coiled by the shattered door where a giant lizard clings. For this house of care is the fitting lair of a myriad voiceless things. Once I camped alone on the clearing's edge through the lapse of a livelong night, when the wan moon flooded the house and land in the lake of her ghostly light, and the silent dread of a world long dead filled my credulous soul with fright. For no wind breathed by, but a nameless awe was abroad in the open there, and the campfire burned with a pale thin flame in the chill translucent air, and my dog lay prone like a chiselled stone with his opaline eyes astare. In the tranced air was an omen felt and the sway of a subtle spell, and I waited long for I know not what, but the pale night augured well. At a doleful hour, when the dead have power, lo, a hideous thing befell. From the shadows flung by the far bush wall came a treacherous phantom crew, like the smoke rack blown o'er the plain at morn when the bracken is wet with dew. Not a sound they made, and their forms no shade on the moonlit surface threw. And the night was changed to the quiet eve of a beautiful summer's day, and the old house warmed as with life and light, and was set in a garden gay, and a babe that crawled by the doorway called to a kitten that leapt in play. But the black fee encircled the peaceful home, and I fathomed their evil quest. From the ground up springing they hurled their spears and danced with a demon zest, and a girl lay dead neath the roses red with a wound in her fair white breast. Through the looped wall spat a rifle's flame, and the devilish pack gave tongue, for a lean form writhed in a torment dire on the crimsoned stubble flung. Many echoes spoke, and the sluggish smoke on the shingles rolled and clung. Yet again and oft did the flame spring forth, and each shaft from the dwelling shore threw a savage heart, but the ban unawed at the walls of the homestead tore, and a man and wife fought for life with the horde by the broken door. Then ghostly and grey from the dusky bush came a company riding fast. Seven horses strode on the buoyant air, and I trembled and gazed aghast. Such a deadly hate on the forehead sate of each rider racing past. With a cry they leapt on the dusky crew and swept them aside like corn in the lusty stroke of the mower's scythe, and distracted and overborne. Many demons fled, leaving many dead by the hoofs of the horses torn. Not in vain, not all, though a father lay with the light on his cold grey face, and a mother bled with a murdered maid held close in a last embrace. for the babe laughed at a visage black death, drawn to a foul grimace. Came a soft wind swaying the pendant leaves, like the sigh of a waking day, and the darkness fell on my tired eyes, for the phantom had passed away, and the breezes bore from a distant shore faint echoes of ocean's play. Past a dull grey plain, through the tall still trees, where the lingering days inspire an unspoken woe in the heart of man, and the nights hold visions dire, stands a house alone that no dwellers own, yet unmarred by the storm or fire. And now a couple from Hello Soldier, Khaki Verse by Edward Dyson. Australia, Australia, my native land, a stirring whisper in your ear, 'tis time for you to understand. Your rating now is A1, dear. You've done some rousing things of late that lift you from the simple state in which you chose to vegetate. The person so superior, whose patronage no more endures, now have to fire a salvo for the glory that is fairly yours. At length you need no sort of crutch. You stand alone, and you're voted much. Get busy and behave as such. No man from Oshkosh, or from Hull, or any other chosen place, can rise with a distended skull and cast aspersions in your face. You're given all the world to know your proper standing as a foe, and hats are off, and rightly so. You furnish heroes for the fray, your sterling merits widely blown, to all man's satisfaction say, now have you proved it to your own. Now have you strength to stand and shine in your own light and say divine, the thing is that I do, it's mine. The cannon stroke throws customs down the black and bottomless abyss, and quaking are the gilded crown and palsied feet of prejudice. The guns have killed, but it is true, they bring to life things good and new. God grant that they have awakened you. My ears are greedy for the toast of confidence before our guest, the loyal song, the manly boast, your splendid faith to manifest. In works of art and livelihood, shirk not the creed, what ours is good. Dread not to have it understood. Australia, lift your royal brow, and have the courage of our pride. Audacity becomes you now, be splendidly self-satisfied. No land from lowliness and dearth has won to eminence on earth that was not conscious of its worth. Bullets by Edward Dyson. As bullets come to us, they're thin, they're angular or smooth and fat, some spiral are and gimlet in, some are sharp and others flat. The slim one pink you clean and neat, the flat one's bat solid blow, much as a camel throws his feet and leave you beastly incomplete, if lucky you don't know it through. The flitting bullets flow and flock, they twitter as they pass, they're pricking at the solid rock, they're rooting in the grass. A tiny ballet swift throws its gossamer of rust, brown fairies on their little toes are dancing in the dust. You cower down when first they come with snaky whispers at your ear, and when like swarming bees they hum, you know the tinkling chill of fear. A whining thing will pluck your heel, a whirring insect sting your shin, you'll shrink to half your size and feel the rippers o'er your body sill. 'Tis terror walking in your skin. The bullets pelt like winter hail, they whistle and they sigh. They shrill like cordage in a gale, like mewing kittens cry. They hiss and spit, they purring come, or silent all a span. They rap, as on a slackened drum, the dab that kills a man. Rage takes you next, all hot your face, the bitter void and curses leap. From pinched teeth, the wild still space, whence all those leaden devils sweep, is Tophet. Friends by day and night are groping for your heart to satiate. In blood their diabolic spite, you shoot in idiot delight, each winging slug a hymn of hate. The futile bullets scratch and go, they chortle and they coo. I laugh my scorn, for now I know the thing they cannot do. They flit like midges in the sun, but how so thick they be, what matter, since there is not one that God has marked for me? An Eastern old philosophy, come home at length and passion stills. The thing will be that it is to be, and all must come as heaven wills. Where in the swelter and the flame, the new hot shining bullet strip, one in the many has an aim, in wove a visage and a name, no man may give his fate the slip. The bullets shrill along the breeze, they drum upon the bags, they tweak your ear, your hair they tease, and peck your sleeve to rags. Their voices may no more annoy, I chortle at the call. The bullet that is mine, my boy, I shall not hear at all. The walls aflutter very like the tickets that we took from Tat. Quite possibly I'll make a strike. The odds are all opposed to that. Behind the dawn, the fury sway, the mighty globe from which to get those bullets which throughout the day will winners be to break or slay. I have not struck a starter yet. The busy bullets rise and flock, they whistle as they pass. They're chipping at the solid rock, they're skipping in the grass. Out there the tiny dancers throw their sober skirts of rust, brown flitting fliggers tipping toe along the golden dust. The Hapless Army by Edward Dyson. A soldier braving disease and death on the battlefield has a 7 times better chance of life than a newborn baby. Secretary of War, USA. The hapless army from the dark that lies beyond creation, all blinded by the solar spark, and leaderless in lands forlorn, comes stumbling through the mists of morn, and foes in close formation, with taloned fingers dripping red, bestrew the sodden world with dead. The hapless army bears no sword, fell destiny fulfilling. It marches where the murder horde, amid the fair new urge of life, with poison stream and shot and knife, make carnival of killing. No war above black hell's abyss knows evil grim and foul as this. In pallid hillocks lie the slain, the callous heaven under, like twisted hieroglyphs of pain, they fleck earth to oblivion's brink. As far as human mind may think, accusing God with thunder, of dreadful silence, naught it serves. Fate ever calls the doomed reserves. Still with death's own monotony, the innocents are falling, like dead leaves in a forest tree, and still the conscript armies come. No banners theirs, no beat of drum, no merry bugles calling. Mad ally in the slayer's train, man slaps and sorrows for the slain. If you're not familiar with Edward George Dyson, he was an Australian journalist, poet, playwright and short story writer. He lived from the 4th of March 1865 to 22nd of August 1931. And that concludes our episode for today. There is one more episode left of the season, and that is Elements of the Craft of Story Writing, where we'll do something a little different. Thank you. The Story Weaver podcast intro and outro were created by Paul using licensed music from Stock 20. Paul is also the editor for the show. If you would like to contact me, you can send me an email to thestoryweaverpodcast@gmail.com. Farewell for now, dear friends.